Well, speaking of church family, y'all know Pastor Fabe. He is family. And I realize the couple of times that he has preached and used the podium that I usually did, Scott got out a tape measure and measured it for me. And then the first time Fabe preached, and I was like, oops. So we're putting this out here to Fabe's height. I got to be careful because, you know, there's some young guys in the Bible who made fun of a prophet and a bunch of bears came out and ate him. So at the risk of invoking bears, let's welcome Pastor Fabe to come bring the word today.
Love you, man. Love you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aloha no from the great islands that I miss. It's been 3 weeks. It's like, let me tell you something. I drove from here to Oregon. This big island of America, you got some long roads. It'd be like, wow, 13 hours, and we're like still not there. I mean, you got like the longest roads, but it's good to be here. My wife and I were blessed. We did some ministry in Oregon that was pretty cool. And we went through, if you're familiar with Oregon, from here we went through the John Day place. And her and I did some hiking up there. It was beautiful. Oh, have you never been there? Painted mountains, and I think it's called Sheep Rock or the Blue Mountain. It was fantastic. I don't know, at my age, I'd rather see God's creation than a castle and a 300-year-old cathedral. I mean, I've been to the Middle East a couple of times, and I've seen all antiquated stuff, so I love God's creation. So good to be here this morning, and amen. Thank you. It's good. We feel like it's home here. So much so, we purchased Lisa's truck. It's my truck now. My Mona's truck now. So, yeah, we got a car here, and I got an address and sent all kinds of stuff for her house. So, yeah, we're here. We're here, and we love this area, and because we love you, and you love us back. So thank you. Thank you for loving on us. So we're going to finish up Jude this morning. And I'm going to be doing Jude, 20 through 25. The cool thing about Jude is only one chapter. Amen. You don't have to go, hey, chapter 3 verses. So it's just one chapter. And what I like about Jude is, and a lot of people, they don't realize it, but he's actually speaking about false teachers and demonic doctrines, and he encourages us today. At the end, he's going to encourage us. But there's a word that came to my mind as I begin to read this portion of scripture today. And you may have heard it, some of you who went to school more than others. It's called metamorphosis. And for those of you who don't fully understand that word, it's like when the butterfly goes into the cocoon and it comes out a butterfly, from a worm to a butterfly, right? And I realized the definition of, let me give you the creation definition or the scientific definition of metamorphosis. It says, creation that experiences a biological process. Makes sense, right? It's a biological process that something goes through and they change. Here's a biblical definition of metamorphosis. It's an experience when a new birth of a believer creates an inner change. If your life has changed, you're a walking metamorphosis. It's unbelievable. And you and I cannot take credit. I wish I could. Oh, man, I got so much discipline. Oh, I train all the time, man. I'm just hooked up. That's why I'm such a good... No, nothing to do with that. It's all about Him and the Spirit that dwells in us. I want you to remember this today. When you leave this place, and if you are a sincere believer of Jesus Christ, and He is your Lord, your Master, your King, wherever you go, I don't care where you're at, you take Holy Spirit with you. Share Him. Share Him with our families. Share Him with this community, school, wherever you're at. Does that make sense? Amen. So let's get into today's scripture. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. And every time I share it, I cry out to You. That'll be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And just give us enough for the next step, because we don't want to see too far ahead, Lord, because you could scare us. So, Lord, just lovingly talk to us, encourage us, convict us, whatever it takes this morning, let your word go out and not come back void in our hearts. And we be sure to give you praise and glory, because only you are worthy, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. So I don't know if you, I'm sure Pastor Keith talked about this in his studies, but a lot of people don't realize this who just read the Bible like a textbook. Jude, according to documented history, was a half-brother of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that. If you take notes, it's Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56. If you want to go look there on your own, you can see that there's a whole name of siblings that's given, that's attached to Mary and Joseph, thus attached to Jesus' family. And when you look at Jude, he initially sat down to pen, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to talk about the doctrine as we took the communion today. He was going to pen a letter to the churches, mainly the church in the area of Judea, about salvation. But it's a strange thing, and those of us who share the word, we know this. Holy Spirit grabbed Jude and said, I'm going to take you somewhere else. I don't want you to focus on salvation. I want you to focus on false teachers, false doctrines, and then encourage the body. And many times I've studied like for hours, like those of you who don't know me, I'm a retired police commander, so I'm an investigator. I worked with lawyers in my own private business. So I investigate things, and sometimes I'm investigating the word for hours, trying to simplify it, and then I'm up here sharing wherever I'm at, and Holy Spirit goes, eep. And I'm like, yo, what's up with the hours? I just want to study. And he goes, no, well, let's go here. And I'm speaking, going, where is this coming from? Right? And so I'm sure Jude felt like that. Like he had a vision, and God took him somewhere else. Amen. So let's get into verses. I'm going to dissect this couple verses at a time. Let's read verses 20 through 21 of Jude. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. I'm going to spend some time on these two verses because it's powerful. Now, when I look at it, that word beloved in the Greek, agapeteos, A-G-A-P-E-T-O-S, it's kind of where we get the word agape, that unconditional love. And really it means, when Jude writes this, when he says beloved, it means my favorite, you worthy of my love. That's what this word means. You and I are favorites of God, and we're worthy of his love because of Jesus. Not because any of us deserve it, but it's because of Christ. And so he goes on and he tells us, really, River Church, River Community, build your faith in God. Build your faith in God. You and I must choose to trust Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father, only. And that's the only way to trust. I'm going to tell you straight up today, truth for my life is this. The day I stepped into an intimate, sincere relationship with Jesus Christ, I loved him like no other. No other. There's second in this earth as my wife, and then my family, and then my church family, right? And it's sometimes we get too religious with our love. And then how do you know you're being built up? You see, I've spoke God's word for a lot of years, and what I find is you and I, we're responsible for our own spiritual growth. I encourage you today, it's your journey with Jesus. Will you stop depending on other people? Will you stop blaming? Will you stop deflecting? And will you take ownership of your walk with Christ? If you don't want to open the Bible, you don't want to pray, that's on you. Amen? Stop blaming people. Oh, you triggered me today. I don't want to. You may have gotten triggered. Go through the moment. Take a deep breath. Be still. Know that he's God. And get back to building your faith. That's on you. You know, the thing about God is he has no grandchildren. He only has children. So you cannot blame anyone or anything for your walk. Does it make sense? And so Judah's encouraging us to take responsibility. And then we have to realize that great songs we sang. Let me tell you, you're blessed with a great worship team. Amen. Give them a hand. I mean, worship sets everything up. Worship sets everything. It sets everything up. And what we need to realize is Holy Spirit, Jesus in us, is sufficient for our growth and journey. He's sufficient. I don't care if you're not a theologian. You read one verse, you cry out to him, speak to me to this verse. He will. He will. He will speak to you. That's his promise. That's his promise. And I want you to notice, he goes on and people get really like mystical or kind of weird feeling. And I'll spend a little bit of time on this because I want to clarify it for you. Jude tells us today, pray in the Spirit. I think we got Romans 8:26. You see Jesus pulling us out of the water? That's a Peter moment. That's when you and I are drowning and he grabs us. Never forget that. Thus, today's title is The Process and Journey of a Believer. We all go through it. Every one of us. We go through this process that we need to be pulled out and we need to journey on. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is Paul. You know, sometimes I don't know about you, but I can't speak the English language that good either. I stopped speaking Spanish, and I used to be real good at sign language. I stopped that too. So I don't know what I speak. But sometimes when I'm praying, English words does not fit. It don't make sense because the feelings I have, the thoughts I have, I can't put it into words. And Paul tells us it's okay. Just groan, agonize in it. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit, God Almighty will intercede for you, for whoever you're trying to pray for, a situation you're praying for. And sometimes we get real wonky with that. But Jude tells us this is part of our sincere walk with Jesus. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. You see, opportunities of words go beyond our natural self and ability sometimes. And I agree with Paul. But God desires a deep level of communication. I'm going to tell you, if you never heard this before, God wants to speak to you in a personal way and only to you. You and I have to choose to allow that and desire that. But see, God wants to communicate beyond what you and I can comprehend. And he gives the gifts to accomplish these things. He'll clarify things. He'll make us not only feel, but understand things. And I want to encourage you, if you ask Holy Spirit to guide your prayers, he might lead you to groaning for someone, for something, for a situation. Don't feel bad about that. There's nothing mystical about it, as Paul says. That's part of it. That's part of the journey when the words aren't sufficient. Not a lot of people want to attach this with the gift of tongues. And Paul probably could be mentioning the gift of tongues. But let me clarify this about the gift of tongues. It is a God-given gift. It is part of the gifts that God says he bestows. But it has nothing to do with salvation or being sealed with the Holy Ghost. Don't ever let somebody put you on the wall and go, okay, I'm going to press on your chest and say this real fast. I want to buy a Honda. I want to buy a Honda. I want to buy a Honda. Okay, you got the gift of tongues. No. No. Don't get confused with what Jude is sharing and what Paul is sharing. God bestows this gift. Pastor Fave, do you have the gift of tongues? Yes, I do. I do. But I realize what tongues is. It's a personal prayer between me and my God, where words is not sufficient. I would never come up here and start raising my hand and go into my angelic language. What are you going to do? Two things. He is so spiritual, Oh, he's crazy. He plumb, in Hawaii we say mental. He is plumb mental. He's crazy, right? Because what are you getting out of it? Nothing. Nothing. But the gift of tongues is a gift. If you don't have it, don't be bummed. You want it? Pray for it. God will give it if he wants you to have it. So tongues, again, nothing to do with salvation. I notice in these two verses, and I'll wind down and get to the next verses, there's three things that Jude tells us. Build yourself up, but how do you stay built up in the will of God in our lives, right? Because we're all struggling. Raise your hand if you are not going through something today. Because if you rose your hand, I would tell you, yo, let's switch places. I want to sit here. I want to listen to how you do that, right? We're all going through stuff today, right? And so there's three things Jude wants us to be encouraged by and to grasp to. This is how we stay in the will of God, according to Jude. One, he tells us, build yourself up. Build yourself up. Okay. That makes sense. Then he goes, number two, pray in the Spirit, as we just talked. Pray in the Spirit. Not in tongues, just in the Spirit, sincere. With everything you have, pray. And then I believe this is Jude's theme throughout his letter, staying in the truth of God's love. If you get anything today, get this. God loves you just the way you are. He made you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before you were woven in the womb. But God loves you so much, he wants us to change. Right? So he loves you just the way you are, with your abilities he's given you, your capacities and weaknesses and everything. But he desires us to change. That's on us. If you got to want that. Does that make sense? So I know this. If I stay in these three things, building myself up, praying in the Spirit, staying in the truth of God's love, these steps will keep you and I waiting for Jesus and his mercy upon us to experience heaven. Wow. Never forget, you and I are just aliens. If you're frustrated with this world today, good. We're not made to be here forever. We should be wanting heaven more than earth. That's the real thing. I know there's a lot of young people in here. I'm not telling you to be bummed because you're young. But I'm telling you the world ain't going to get any better. It's not. It's not going to get any better. We're in the end times. You just look at not only Utah, not only the American states, but the whole world. It's just spinning out of control. Why? Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon. He is coming. He is coming really soon. Any teacher of the Bible knows that and believes that. Let me ask you this question, just because my mind always has questions. I think they posted it. Why is it difficult, and think about yourself, personal question, why is it difficult to love and to care for others? For you, today where you're sitting. And I'm not talking about people you're comfortable with, because we're all comfortable with people, right? I'm talking about in Oregon, there was a lady who's a homeless lady. Her name's Rhonda. And the last 3 years, whenever I do an event over there, I pray over and I broke down crying this last time, last week, praying over, and she was looking at me. And I told her, Rhonda, you have changed how I love people. You have changed. You're not the sweetest smelling person. You're not always the cleanest. But I look in your eyes and I see the Spirit of the Lord in you. And she gave me a big hug and I took it. And it was fantastic. But when you look at your lives today, what kind of people irritate you that you definitely would not pray for, not even look at? And yet our Lord and Savior, he sets this standard. He says, pray for your enemies. Not only like the Iranians and stuff, but pray for those you're uncomfortable with. That's hard. Amen? My wife and I, we work with high-risk youth and sex trafficking young women. And I tell you, I get worked up when I hear the word pedophile or pimp or sex trafficker, you know. I get really worked up. I get really worked up, and God tells us, I want you to pray for them because I love them just as much as you. Can you imagine God loves a rapist just as much as you? Someone who's going to mess with your children just as much as you? That's kind of like, right? But that's how great God's love is. Not that he condones anything, because they surely will be judged. They will. But he is calling you and I as believers to love our community, even the ones we're uncomfortable with. That makes sense to you? Amen. For Fabian, why I struggle with loving others that I'm uncomfortable with, here's my answer. There's always a cost. Those of us, all of us should have some relationship. I don't care how young you are. You have a family. There's a cost to every relationship in life. There's a cost, right? I've been sharing this over and over again. And we're talking about last night, Lisa and my wife and I was doing a study. We were talking, yeah, our world is so perfect until another human being steps into it. And then we got to make adjustments, right? Oh, you have to step into my world, right? And that's the truth. That's the truth for Fabian, the cost, and then me being uncomfortable. It took me years not to look at people. Even as a pastor, I'm standing greeting people, and my police officer's eyes, chronic, hoodlum, oh, that girl needs help. And I'm like, what am I doing? Right? It's hard to get that mentality. I did it over 25 years, right? And to get that out of my system, only God can do that, right? When you look at people. So now I just look at people in the eyes and I see the Spirit of God in them. I see the Spirit of God in them. And it's changed my life. So, and another thing that when I try to love on people and they reject me, I get really like, ooh, okay, I'm not wasting my time anymore there, right? See ya, right? And so those are the things I struggle with, the cost, being uncomfortable, and being rejected when I put out the love. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. Jude goes on and he says, and have mercy on those who doubt. And he's talking about different types of people now. Have mercy on those who doubt. And look what he says here. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, to others showing mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh, or sinning, sinful things, right? So when you look at 22, he says, and have mercy on those who doubt. That's the first group of people. There's brothers and sisters in the body that have hard moments, and then their faith are shaken. And then the psalmist, I believe, is the warrior King David in 62 verse 2 says this in Psalm, for he alone is my rock, my salvation, my strong tower, and I will not be greatly shaken. You see, we will be shook. That's just who we are. But God desires us not to be greatly shaken. Really happy, really mad, or really depressed. He wants us to be in the middle, kind of like just ride in it and let him do the things he needs to do with us. Does that make sense? And so this verse of doubters in the body, Jesus says, have mercy. Be compassionate. When there's a brother and sister struggling, have compassion. You know, they might need a hug, a tear, a prayer. I don't know, lawnmowed. Or as Pastor Keith offered, air conditioner fixed. I mean, I don't know, but we're called in that first group of people to have compassion. Then he goes on and this is the second group. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Wow. That word snatching in the Greek is harpazo. You may have heard of this word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And Paul writes about the rapture. There's some of our family and friends and coworkers and students that need to be snatched out of this world. My son's a gamer. And he's 31, I don't know. But I walk in his man cave, I'm like, oh, cuz. You spent a lot of money in this room, man. What about diapers for the babies? When does that come in? I mean, and then he's always telling me, oh, I wish I was rich. You know, you and mom are so blessed. I go, yo. We made some hard choices when we were young. We lived within our means. Game, necessities for the house. Let me tell you this real quick one. We sent our son to a private Christian school. It's called Hanalani, run by Baptist people. Very good college prep school. That's what we wanted for him. At the sixth grade, he wanted out. And I was like, dude, I'm from the public school. You need to stay in. You need to stay in. So he started fighting. Sad, I trained him a little bit. So he started pounding guys. So he gets kicked out. So now he's in the public school. You know what the first thing I did? I bought a brand new surfboard. Called my boys. Yo, I need a board. Shoot. Because I used to compete. And the guy made me a beer. And when he came home from school one day, I stood in the house. I said, yo, his Hawaiian name is Ikaika. I go, Ikaika. He goes, yes, Dad. I go, look at the raise you gave me. Because you didn't want to go to a private school. Thank you for my new surfboard. And he went, I was like, thank you, son. That was so good. You helped daddy. Right? But these necessities, right? When we look at snatching people out, you have people that you know or are close to that need to be snatched out. How do you do that? Do it in love. Please don't ever weaponize the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. You shall go to hell from your sins if you don't receive Jesus as your Lord. I mean, is that wrong? No, but maybe that's not the right time or the right way to say it. God says, my love constrains humans. I don't know about you, but the love of God drew me to him. I wasn't a down and outer. I was a young cop with a house and a hot rod and girls and bank accounts. And yet I was still weak, if you feel me. I did not enjoy it after a while. And I met Jesus. And he filled that hole in the heart that only he can fill. Amen. And so he snatched me. But I had a lot of people praying for me that I never knew, right? And so you and I, don't stop praying for those you love and you're concerned about. I don't care how young they are. If you got babies all the way to teenagers, pray for them. Pray for them. Dedicate them to the Lord in your heart and your prayer. And watch God and what he does. He'll do great and mighty things. That's just from my own experience. You see, God's love, as Jude shares it, with all these dynamics of the different types of people, God's love is the key with helping others struggling with ungodly influences. And yet at times, those of us who've been in the Bible, we study the Bible, we can weaponize God's love by his word to get our point across, you know, get our point across. But God knows the heart you have, the heart I have, when we share his love and his word. If your heart is right, he will do great things. Not you, not me. So even if you speak truth and if there's no love in it, you won't snatch anybody. They'll just think rules, 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 guidelines, boring. That's what I thought of Christians. They're weak and boring. And people always ask me, Pastor Faye, what do you think when people tell you Christians, they need a crutch and his name is Jesus? I go, well, I can only speak about me, but I don't need a crutch. I need a whole ER room. And his name is Jesus. I got to like get slide in there. I got to get worked on. If you feel what I'm saying. It's no weakness. There's no weakness about loving a God who loves you back in ways that we can't even explain. Amen? And Jude is encouraging us to check our hearts. And I'm going to tell you this. If you use God's word, and you don't tear down somebody, you're using it correctly. Whenever you quote God's word or share God's word, It should be building people up. You should be building people up in the most holy faith. That's how we snatch them. That's how we snatch them out of the pit of hell. Because God's love is doing it. Amen? I hope that makes sense. And then the next group he talks about is the last one. He says, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment of stain by the flesh. That stain by the flesh means any fleshly decisions we make, right? That's what he's saying there. But he uses this word, fear, and a lot of people, they get tripped out because we're called, Jude tells us, to confront strongly and go through fear. You ever thought about this? Why did God put fear in us? We need fear at times for survival. I call it my spider senses. You know, I'm in a situation, I'm like, right? My head's on a swivel. I start looking, assessing, looking at things, right? That kind of fear, I don't know if you guys have it here, but in Hawaii where I live, my community, we live in a pretty nice community, and these rich kids, they all got these e-bikes and they're silently doing wheelies. I'm like, okay, he thinks he's going to live forever. They're going down on the rear tire, right? And I'm like, they have no fear about the consequences of that choice, right? Those of us who got some scars and injuries, we go, oh, not a good choice, bro. You're going to be down for a while. In Hawaii, we call it huli maka flip. If you go over and over and over like you're in a blender, it's going to hurt for a long time. Not worth it, right? But when you look at fear, God defines fear as this. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind, or sober mind, clear mind, right? So God says fear is a spirit. If you let it hang on to you too long, it creates a whole lot of chaos and confusion. Then it's not godly. We need to shake off that fear. I'm going to tell you, I was very uncomfortable 5 years ago when God called my wife and I to go minister to sex trafficking young women. What? Huh. Men, I know I'm a man. My daddy taught me that. What do I have in common with women who's traumatized? I'm driving down there going, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to let Mona do all the talking. I'm not sure, you know. But God, we've been there 5 years now, right? And just working and ministering. And I've been growing from it. So you need to check fear. Let it know what it's doing to you. And don't let it hang around too long. Does that make sense? Don't let it hang around too long. And Jude is not talking in a religious way when he talks about this fleshly stain. He's not talking about any religious, but he's concerned about fleshly pollution in us. The thing about fleshly things in our lives, sometimes they're not sinister. They're not sinister. They're not dark and slithery or red with ears and a pitchfork. No. They're like church or the World Cup. Right? Church, oh man, I want to go on this river thing for just a day, but they went on a Saturday, Sunday. And I'm not saying that's evil, but I'm saying anything for me is surfing, softball training. I got to watch because if I get over-influenced by those things, it becomes ungodly for me. I don't know if you ever heard this statement, but 1 week without the Bible creates a weak Christian. That's truth, man. I can't speak for you, but if I'm not in God's word, I'm a hurting man. I gotta be in his word. Not because I'm religious, because I need it. I need to be in the ER room of the Bible, right? And I gotta make that choice. You know, Jesus, he made it so simple in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He shares his truth with Nicodemus. And you know the story of Nicodemus, right? And he tells Nico, look, you want to make it to heaven? You got to be born again. And Nicodemus goes, yo, look at me. I'm an old man with a gray beard. How can I go into my mama and come out? And Jesus says, you got to be born of the Spirit. That's what gets you into heaven. So as we read these verses, don't get too complicated with it. It's really simple. You and I need the Spirit of God in us to help others and to help ourselves. Never forget that. And the only way we can get into God's Spirit is to spend time with Him. Look at your loved ones, some in here, some in your life. Why you love them so much? You spend time with them, right? Good, bad, everything in between. And so you have a relationship. Do you do that with Jesus? That's on you. That's strictly on you. I love this because I grew up a Catholic kid and there was so much ceremonial thing in Catholicism that I never understood and I didn't like. But when I read Jude and I study the Bible more, I see this awesome example as Jesus gave to Nicodemus. It's really simple, Nicodemus. You don't need ceremonial rituals. You don't need tassels and long robes and high hats. You don't need any of those garments. You don't even have to go, dunk, 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 dunk. Hi, here's a pamphlet. Or don't want to offend anybody, but I know it's prevalent here, being a white shirt and a tie riding your bike with your head protected. You know, with a helmet. We see so much of them on the islands, right? You don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to do any works at all. As Jesus tells Nicodemus, heaven is a gift given by God through and by His grace. None of us deserve heaven. But because of Jesus and God's grace, we get to experience it. Amen? I love it. Let's close verse 24 and 25. And he closes in this doxology or a little prayer at the end. It says, now to him, Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless, wow, before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Wow. This is the half-brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus was perfect, right? So I know he didn't slap Jude around because he was the older. You know what I mean? So he didn't go, give me that. You know, oh, Jude, that's so cute. You're playing with my stuff. Thank you, Jude. Go ahead, enjoy the moment, right? But this is the half-brother of Jesus looking finally with godly vision and saying, wow, my brother is Lord. He is Savior. He is King, right? And I want you to notice as he closes in this prayer, look what he says in the beginning. To Jesus, who is able to keep you and I from stumbling. Wow. Don't ever think you're strong enough. Notice as Jude writes, God is our defender. He keeps us from stumbling. It's nothing we do or who we are. Never forget that. And if you and I strive to be good, strive to be better, it has limits. As my brother so eloquently said, I cannot speak from a podium this high. I have limits, height limits. And I'm good with short jokes. Just don't say small. Then, you know, we got to start. Okay, let's bust out the tape measure. Let's look. Okay, don't call me small, bro. Right? But you and I, in all the things we're capable of doing, we have limits. Our God has no limits. He is without limits. And Jude ends with this praise and this encouragement. And he tells us, remember, keeping us spiritually safe is the work of Jesus, not us. Jesus will keep you safe. Jesus will keep you from stumbling. Jesus will open. Jesus will close doors of opportunities in your life. You wonder why all of a sudden, my son was supposed to be in North Carolina for 4 years. He was gone 1 year. He's in the Coast Guard, got promoted. He's back after 1 year. They just moved in last week, back in the islands, right? It is God who opens and closes. My wife and I are like, oh, how much time we got to go to North Carolina? You ever been there? It's a challenging place. Even just to get there from the islands, there is no one trip. Beep. You got to go all by jet. And it's terrible. It's the worst travel ever. Right? But God opened an opportunity. We were just told last night that, try not to get emotional. Our daughter-in-law called us and said, my son came into the room from his man cave, his gaming cave, and he apologized to her about how he was speaking recently because he was under stress with the move and all that stuff. And she said, I went back in the room and he was studying his Bible again. When Keith and the worship team was singing some songs, I was crying over here like, Lord, you know what? Your timing is perfect. I have limits, but you don't. Never forget that. Don't stop loving. Don't stop praying for people you care about. And even those you don't. Pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who's persecuted beyond our knowledge. Getting killed, put in prison just because they love Jesus. Pray. Don't stop praying because God is without limits. He'll keep you safe. You see, this relationship that Jude is having right now, and he's encouraging us as you walk out of here, if you have this relationship with Jesus, as we've been discussing, you'll have joy in you, not happiness, not that feeling that goes, but this joy. And you know that word joy is an interesting word. In the Greek, here's the Greek definition of the word joy. You ready? It means cheerful peace. I want that. Driving for 13 hours, there's moments I did not have cheerful peace. You guys got like the worst truckers who try to pass trucks that they can't. And it's like 5 miles and you'd be on. I'm like, let me go, bro. Right? But this word joy, if you and I get to choose that, which I want that, don't forget that. Cheerful peace. In your situation, if you can go through the emotions and then choose cheerful peace, you'll have joy. You have the joy of the Lord and it becomes our strength. Amen. My closing thought for you. These are Fabian steps to consider. As Jude has given us unbelievable words of wisdom and challenge, here's the steps to consider. Remember, as Keith talked about, why we took communion, right? Remember who Jesus is and can be for you. Remember. Remain. Like I've been saying, choose to remain. Only you can choose that. Stop blaming. Stop deflecting. You choose to remain in Jesus. I don't care how old you are. You choose to remain in Him. However that looks for you, reach out. If you have times of chaos, confusion, and trouble, reach out. That's why this is important. That's why this body is important. Reach out. Reach out. And then the last thing is this, which us three last night at Lisa's house talked about, rest. Can we find rest? Not just chipmunk rest. I mean, rest in our situations. Rest in the busyness of work, homework, and sports, and whatever grabs us. If we can be still and know that He is God, He will meet us in that moment. That's what He tells us. So these steps, remember, remain, reach out, and rest. You see, these are personal choices that only you and I can make. And as always, I like to close with a gem that I'm not going to charge you. Here's a gem. Here's a gem. Here's a gem. I'm not going to charge you for this gem. Good catch, brother. Here's a gem to strengthen your spiritual muscle. You ready? Remember this. The devil cannot take away what he does not give. He can't take the things of God from you. You have to choose to give it up. He can't take it. He has no power to take it because God has given it to us. Amen? Let me close in prayer. Father, we're here before you, and as our heads are bowed, I just want to humbly ask my brothers and sisters in the room if they're struggling with anything, if they could just lift a small finger, I'd like to pray over them today. Any of you in the room, I see you sisters in the back, my brother up front here. Anybody else? I see you, brother. Ma'am, I see you. Sister, I see you. Anybody else? Don't leave this place without prayer. Church is a hospital for broken people like you and I. Anybody else on this side? Amen, sister, I see you up front. And Father, you've seen the hands of your kids. And you've promised us if we just reach out and let you be God and have a relationship with you, you have so many things. Even when we're groaning, you're in it. Even when we're stumbling, you're there, protecting us from falling too deep and getting us back up. So as my brothers and sisters have lifted their hands, God, I pray, I don't know their stuff, but you do. You are the Almighty, the mightiest of the mighty, the Adonai, the Yahweh, the Jehovah, the great I am. You see our hearts, our minds, our needs. God, bless my brothers and sisters who raised their hand. And even those who are struggling to raise their hand. God, would you bless them and their families? Would you expand this congregation? Not in numbers, but in growth. Let every person here leave this place filled with your spirit, with your love, and let them share it with this dying and lost and dark community. Because only you can do these great and wonderful things. So I humbly ask, God, that you bless us. Because, Lord Jesus, we know without a doubt, only you can bless. And so we want to thank you ahead of time for the things you're going to do. We thank you for the things you have done. May your name be lifted high in our lives and how we live, so all others can be drawn unto you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Love you guys. Aloha.
Let's pray for our brother. Father, we thank you for Fabe. Thank you for bringing him out again. Thank you for the ministry that you've called him in the islands, in Oregon, in Utah,
yes,
and wherever else you would take him and Mona. We just pray for your protection, your wisdom, that you would open doors that no one can shut, and you would close doors and no one can open, Lord. We just pray that you would give them all that they need to glorify you with their lives, with their ministry. We thank you for their friendship. We thank you for the love that Fabe has shown to us by giving us the word. Pray that it would root deep in our hearts and produce fruit that glorifies your name. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.